We've been talking the last couple of days about the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, and the question that we need to think about is, are there ever circumstances, are there ever limitations to the obligation of a child toward their parents? Are there ever circumstances where we say a child is not obligated to conform to that which is the parents' wishes? So we start with the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, where the Gemara tells us, Ezehu kibud ve'ezehu mora. What exactly are the parameters of the mitzvah of kibud av v'em and mora av v'em? Says the Gemara, kibud, what it means to be mechabed our parents is machil umashke malbish umachase machnis umotzi. It means I have to help to provide my parents with food, with drink. I have to provide my parents machnis umotzi to get them rides where they need to go, and to help aid and assist them in any way I possibly can. Ask the Gemara, Ibayilahu. When we are told that I have an obligation as a child to help provide for my parents, to help assist them, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishal Ben, Rabbi Nassim Bar Oshia Omer Mishal Av, who has to pay for that service? So my father likes a Starbucks coffee every morning. Who has to pay for the coffee? Nowadays, a coffee costs much more than 5 cents. It's not a cheap endeavor. It's not something that's going to cost me nothing. So when we're talking about being mechabed my parents and just going to visit them, that costs me nothing, then I understand that's a child's obligation. But the Gemara wants to know, when kibud av v'em turns into a situation where it's going to cost the child money, is that something the child is obligated to do as well? Or is the child just obligated to take the money of the parents and then provide the service with their own money? So the Gemara has this discussion, and we come out lahalacha, all the Rishonim basically come to the conclusion that kibud av is mishal av, velo mishal ben. The mitzvah of kibud av v'em means, I have to be there for my parents, I have to help, aid, and assist them in any way I can, but it's not that it has to cost me money. I can take my parents' money to provide for them. I cannot be expected to spend my own money to be there for them. So the Yerushalmi has a passage in the Mishnah in Peah, where the Yerushalmi says that there was an occasion when the great Rabbi Yonasan, Kafa es haben lazun es aviv, he forced the child to go and pay for the needs of his father. And the Yerushalmi says, Halavai bririlan kol shmaitza, I wish every sugya in halacha was as clear to me, says Rabbi Yonasan, as this one, dekofen es haben lazun es aav. Rabbi Yonasan says, it is so clear to me that a child has an obligation and that we can force the child to provide for his father, and I wish this clarity was with every sugya in halacha as it's clear to me in this case. And the obvious question that the Rush asks is, don't we come to the conclusion that kibud av is mishel av, below Mishal Bain, only the father has to pay for the service, the child doesn't have to give his own money for the service of the parents? Well, if that's the case, what does Rabbi Yonasan mean that we force a child to pay for the services needed by his parents? What does that mean, we force you? How can we force a child to do that? Writes the Rush, that case is talking about a situation where it was Kosev Nechas of Lebanov, the father left over Yerusha for the child. He leaves him over $500,000. And now the child is being stingy and he says, well, the mitzvah of kibud av is not, I don't have to pay for my father's needs. What do you mean? What kind of child are you? There, says Rabbi Yonasan, if the father left you over his whole Yerusha and you have plenty of money to go around and you're not going to provide for him, you're going to be such a stickler on the rule and say, it has to come from your bank account, not from mine. There, says Rabbi Yonasan, what kind of child is that? That's unacceptable. But in a normal case of events, we would assume that a child does not have an obligation to go into their own savings or to spend their own money on behalf of the aid needed for their parents. And the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Tzedakah writes this as well, that if a child feels that they need to provide for their parents and they don't have enough money, writes the Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed to take from money that you have designated towards tzedakah to provide for your parents. Not only that, writes the Chasam Sofer and Achuva, he suggests that not only is a person allowed to do so, but he says, chiyuv anamiyika. That's what you're supposed to do. Before you run and give the money to all the organizations, to all the other causes, the people who are closest to you should come first. And therefore, yes, it's true, by strict letter of the law, you don't have to provide with your own money for the needs of your parents. But at the same time, if you have tzedakah money that's set aside for various causes, you certainly should designate the money first and foremost to your parents before going and giving the money to other causes. And based on this psak of the Shulchan Aruch and of the Gemara, that we assume that kibud av is mishal av velo mishal bein, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has an interesting question, and that is something that's very relevant to us. Let's say my parents live in Florida, and I live here on the East Coast up in New York, and it costs me $350 every time I want to go visit my parents in Florida. Now, the expectation is that as a good child, I have to go visit my parents, and however many times a year that's expected of an adult to go and visit their parents in Florida is what I'm obligated to do, whatever that expectation might be, whatever is the norm. But at the same time, every time I'm going to have to fly down, I'm going to have to pay for the flight and all the transportation, it's going to end up costing me a lot of money, right? So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, it's obvious to him that you can go to your parents and say, yes, I would love to spend time with you, I would love to come and visit you, but you have to provide the tickets for me. That's what Shlomo Zalman Auerbach argued. Now, you want to fly first class because you're so fancy, he says, you got to pay the difference. Your parents just have to pay the way a normal person would go fly down to Florida, but you want to have, you know, with all the trappings, you want to have with all the five-class service along the way, so that's something that you have to figure out, that's something that you as a child have to pay for, but in essence, in principle, writes Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, this is something that a child has every right to go back to the parents and say, I am providing a service for you, but I don't want to pay for it. I would love to come and visit you, but you need to pay for me to come and visit you and to do that for me. So that's an important psak given by Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and that is something that is extremely relevant, that comes up all the time. There's a story told about Rabbi Chaim. I think my father quoted this story on many occasions, that Rav Soloveitchik said over in the name of Rav Chaim that there was someone who came to Rav Chaim in the yeshiva in Brisk, and he said that his parents were elderly, and they sent him a letter that they want him to come visit them. And the child said, well, it's Mishal Av lo Mishal Bein. I don't have the money to go and visit my parents and to pay for the train ticket, so how can I be expected to go back and visit them? Said Rav Chaim, you're right, so you have to go walk. If you choose not to walk, then it's your problem. If you choose to take a train, you had the option of walking, even though it would have taken you a month to walk to that community, and you would have been totally worn out. So Rav Chaim said, your obligation is to walk, and if you choose to take the train, that's your expense, it's not theirs. I think it's a story that's a little bit hard to believe or hard to imagine that Rav Chaim really meant it as a psak halacha. I think Rav Chaim probably really meant it just to teach the child that don't be such a stickler. If your father sends you a letter that he's dying and he's at the end of life, you should figure out how to get there and you'll figure out the money later. So whatever it is, Rav Shlomo Zalman clearly states that in our times, the expectation is that a child will visit the parents and will take a flight and will go whatever is the reasonable amount of time that you'll go visit. However, he writes, the flights are something that should be paid for by the parents, and it cannot be something that is expected as an obligation of a child to pay for on their own. Moving right along, the Gemara has in Bav Metzia a very important halacha as well, and that is yet a second limitation to the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. So says the Gemara, Minayin, how do we know Shim Amar Lo Aviv Hitameh? Let's say I happen to be a Kohen, and my father comes to me and he says, I'd like you to go into this Beis HaKvaros for whatever reason. So am I supposed to listen to him? Or if my father tells me, I see a lost object on the floor, and the father says, what are you bothering with this? I don't want you to pick it up. What, are you going to be busy with Hashavas Aveda? Start making phone calls, sending out emails. It's better for you just to leave it in the street, let someone else deal with it. But I have a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So my father, in essence, is telling me to ignore a mitzvah that I'm obligated to do. Either a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda or an Aveira of a Kohen going to be Metame in a Beis HaKvaros. Says the Gemara, you're not allowed to listen to the parents when they instruct you to do something which is against the Torah principle. How do we know that? Because the Pasuk says, Ish imo va'aviv tiro. We have an obligation to fear our parents. Ve'es shabsosai tishmoru ani Hashem. And from the fact that the Gemara there says that the Pasuk puts together Kibud Av V'Em and Ani Hashem, says the Gemara, Kulchem chayavim bechvodi. Both you and your parents have an obligation to respect me. And therefore God says, when you have this kind of conflict between either listening to God or listening to your parents, obviously God comes first. That's what the Gemara says. And that is the Psak in Shulchan Aruch, that if your father tells you to violate any halacha in the Torah, and the Shulchan Aruch takes it even further and says, even if your father instructs you not to listen to a mitzvah midirabbanan, you also are not allowed to listen to your father because God instructed us to listen to the Divrei Chachamim, and therefore we have an obligation to do so and to ignore the wishes of our parents. So the Rush writes in a tshuva, and this is what the Tur quotes the halacha as well. What if you have a situation where the father is an angry kind of person? I happen to be a happy kind of guy. People insult me. People say horrible things to me all the time or write horrible things about me. No, I'm not the kind of person that cares so much. My parents are so angry when this happens, and they come over to me and they say, you know, next time somebody does something to you, don't be mochel them, and don't ever get over it, and don't let them apologize, and if they apologize, don't ever accept it. I want you to be angry forever. So I have a mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em to listen to my parents. On the other hand, I'm not interested in being angry at people. I don't want to have this relationship with other members of the community. Writes the Rush, well, the mitzvah in the Torah is, Los sisna es achicha bilvavecha. You're not really supposed to hate people. Now your father is coming and telling you, no, you should always be angry at people. You should never let them get away with the way that they treated you. Says the Tur in the name of the Rush, you as an individual have every right and obligation to ignore your parents when they make such a silly request of you. Because that again is something that goes against the principle of what the Ribbono Shel Olam, of what God Himself expects you to do. And therefore when you have a clash, when you have this problem between what your father or mother expected to do and what God expects you to do, we assume you have to listen to the Ribono Shel Olam and you disregard the word of parents. So a common issue that comes up and often presents itself is, what about when you have a child who wants to go learn in a certain yeshiva and the father or the mother are uncomfortable with the fact that this child is going to learn in this yeshiva? I went to YU. Why are you going to this yeshiva? It was good enough for me. Why is it not good enough for you? Or you have a child who says, I do want to go to this place or I don't want to go to that place. I want to learn in Israel for the year and the parents aren't happy about it. So who has the right of way? Do you say, well, the parents are looking out for the best interest of the child? Or do you say, well, the child is looking out for his best of interest and he feels he's going to learn better in Eretz Yisrael or wherever it might be, and therefore he has the right to choose. Now, whether or not the parents are going to pay the tuition is a question you're going to have to deal with on its own. But in principle, what about the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim versus the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? What is the scenario there? What is one supposed to do? So already, this is not an issue that came up only in the Five Towns. It's not an issue that came up only in the 21st century. This is an issue that already was around in the 13, 1400s. The Trumas Hadeshin discusses the issue that there was a child who got in a disagreement with his parents about whether or not he should go to a certain yeshiva. And the father said, well, if you're going to go to this yeshiva, I'm going to be up at nights and I'm going to be worried about you and I'm not going to be able to watch over you. And I'm not comfortable with you going to this place. I'd rather you learn in the yeshiva of our community. We have a yeshiva here. What do you need to go there? And the Trumas Hadeshin, as quoted in Shulchan Aruch LaHalacha, writes that we have every right to say the child has the right to choose. Because he says, after all, the Gemara tells us, Ein adam lomed ela b'makom shalibo chafetz. Not everyone is able to be successful in learning Torah. And just because this yeshiva worked for the father, or for the sibling, or for the mother, or for someone else, doesn't mean that it's going to work for this child. And if this child really believes, and in fact the Pischei Teshuva writes, even if you have a suffix, meaning you're not sure, one is never sure whether or not they're going to be matzliach, whether or not they'll be successful, but I have a hunch, I have a feeling that by going to this yeshiva, wherever it might be, I'm going to be more successful in my study of Torah, says the Shulchan Aruch, you have every right to do what you feel is the right thing, and you don't have to listen to your parents, because once again, your parents are expecting you to do something that is against what God expects you to do. So the Pischei Teshuva has a fascinating story, and that is that there were parents who were angry. We actually had the story here. There were parents who were angry that their child decided this shul wasn't frum enough for them, and they wanted to go daven in a different shul. What was the taina of the child? The child said, there's too much talking in the Young Israel. So interesting. Now, some in Yanim, the child happens to be right, and, you know, he has a point. But the parents are very offended. What do you mean? We daven in the shul. We've been davening here forever. How can the child tell us he's going to spit in our face and tell us he wants to go to a different shul for whatever reason, either less talking or quicker davening, slower davening, whatever it is. You're going to tell me that he has a right to do that? Isn't that a violation of Kibud Av V'Aim? Writes the Pischei Teshuva, it's not a violation of Kibud Av V'Aim. If the child is doing it for the right reasons, not because they have a better kiddush there or whatever, but he's doing it because he feels he can have more kavana davening in such a shul, writes the Pischei Teshuva, the laws of Kibud Av V'Aim would not apply. Now, one has to use their discretion when applying this principle. If you have a child who's not even old enough to be responsible to take care of themselves and to daven the right way, they probably should be davening with their parents regardless. But maybe the parents have to think about the fact that all the child is trying to do is daven with more kavana. And in such a case, writes the Pischei Teshuva, a parent has no right to insert themselves on a child, even though by the child moving to another shul, it is going to take away from the obvious Kibud Av V'Aim that should be in place when you have parents and children davening together.
Let's say you have a situation going back to an original.
We just have 2 more minutes, so let me try to finish, maybe after Mincha. So one final case that I think is of interest because it comes up all the time. Again, not a Shaila that only was invented in our generation, but again, it's something that came up in France and Italy. The Maharik, the great Gadol from France in the 1400s, had the following issue, and that was, you have a child. Now, Shidduchim is always a sensitive topic for everybody in many different ways, but sometimes you have a boy or a girl who meets someone, and they're going out, and the parents are very unhappy or uncomfortable with the potential spouse. And the parents give their insight and they feel that this is something that is inappropriate and it's something which we don't want. And the question that was posed to the Ma'arik was, should the child listen to the parents when they object to the shidduch that the child thinks is right for them? Now, if we're dealing with a child who doesn't really know how to make a decision, which most parents believe they're dealing with, so then that's a different question. Most parents, when they insert themselves into a shidduch discussion, say, well, you're not old enough, you don't have enough life experience, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, if that's really the case, then that's a different equation. But we're talking about a person who is a mature adult, who's making a decision that's based on a real thought-out decision. And the question is, if the parents object, do I have a mitzvah because of Kibud Av V'Aim to listen to my parents and to turn away the potential shidduch that I think is the right one because my parents are unhappy? Writes the Maharik, three reasons why he believes a child does not have to listen to their parents under these conditions. Number one, writes the Maharik, we said before that kibud av, our obligation as children, is only mishal av, below mishal bein. I don't have to spend my own money to provide for my parents. And therefore, writes the Maharik, if I don't even have to spend my own money, how can my parents put me through the agony of having to break up a shidduch? If I wouldn't even have to spend money to be mechabed them, how can they make me break off my potential shidduch and spend the rest of my life being single or not marrying the person who I wanted to? That is something that is way beyond the expectation of what kibud av v'aim demands of all of us. That's number one. Number two, writes the Maharik, we said before that if a parent instructs a child to go against a Torah principle, the child is not supposed to listen to the parent. So if a parent tells a child that they shouldn't perform a certain mitzvah or they should violate a certain avera, we are not allowed to listen to such a instruction of a parent. And therefore, writes the Maharik, I have a mitzvah of getting married. I have a mitzvah of marrying the woman who I think is going to be suitable for me, who I'm going to be able to raise a family with. And therefore, writes the Maharik, how can a parent come and tell me that I shouldn't perform the mitzvah in the greatest way possible that I can do it? Parents don't have a right to do that. That's like instructing a child not to perform any other mitzvah, which we would never listen to the parent if they were to tell us to do so. And finally, writes the Maharik, most simply, he says, very often you have a question that the Gemara touches upon, not explicitly, but the Rishonim discuss it. Does a parent have a right to tell a child that they have to do something because of kibud av v'aim that really is not going to benefit the parent directly? So a parent gives an instruction to a child that they want them to do something or not to do something, not because it's going to make a difference to the parent's life, but they just want to boss around the children and tell them what to do. Say the Rishonim and many Achronim assume this way, the Ramah paskins this way in Hilchos Kibud Av V'Aim, that we assume that Kibud Av V'Aim would not apply in such a case. And therefore over here as well, he says, if a parent is not really saying it for their own interest, they're just saying, you know, we don't want you to marry this, and we're going to be the ones to choose who you're going to end up marrying, writes the Maharik, this is something that is not the expectation of the child to listen to. Well, writes the Netziv in a Tshuva, this all goes on the assumption that the parents are just uncomfortable with the girl, they don't like this, they don't like that, they don't like the guy, whatever it might have been. However, writes the Netziv, what if you have a situation where the potential spouse is such a bizayon to the family, let's say, Rachman al-Itzlan, but you have a situation where somebody's going out with a girl and she's a well-known prostitute all over the world. So it's an embarrassment to the family. Well, it's not just that the parents feel it's the wrong thing to do. It's such a busha to the whole family that such a person should marry in and should be a part of it. So in such a case, writes the Netziv, that's very different. After all, we have an Isser in the Torah. Arur make aviv imo. A person is not allowed to curse their parents. A person is not allowed to cause bizayon to their parents. So if someone goes to the extreme and you have a situation like that, writes the Netziv, you have to reevaluate. You have to really figure out whether or not this halacha would remain, or perhaps the laws might change. But usually that is not the case. Usually we have a situation where a boy or a girl meets someone and the parents are uncomfortable about it because they have a hang-up, they have a reason why they're uncomfortable, they don't like the family, they don't like this, they don't like the way that looks, the way this looks. And therefore, in such a case, writes the Ramah, as quoted in the Maharik originally in the 1400s, that a child should do what they feel is the right thing to do and to perform the mitzvah the way they are supposed to perform it. And the Kibud Av V'Aim rules would not allow a parent to dictate to a child how to perform the mitzvah of Pur Revu or how to perform the mitzvah of getting married, which is a very important mitzvah that the Torah discusses, because once again, there are a number of factors that come into the equation, and Kibud Av V'Aim is not the only one that has to be brought into play when we have such a discussion. Rav Hanani ben Akasha Omer.